today as we come to the table.
Don't just think it's the Christians that are saying this. These are scientists we have on both sides, believing and unbelieving scientists both today, stand very firmly in the fact that evolution is not a fact. And I believe that if the Lord doesn't come back soon enough, I personally believe that evolution will be so discredited it won't even be a discussion. Now, the question is, why then is it so popular now? Why is evolution so much in the forefront? Guys, recognize this. It's not a battle over science because you have great scientists in both sides. This is a spiritual battle. Because you see, when it comes to the teaching of evolution, if evolution is true, the Bible is not. And if the Bible is true, evolution is not.
In today's message, Pastor Mark is going to dive into the battle surrounding evolution and creation. But he brings up a huge life-altering point here. This battle isn't a physical one. It's not a scientific one. The battle is spiritual. Every battle that you face in your life has something behind it that's greater than the battle itself. Time to peek around the facade and fight the real fight. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. What battle are you fighting today? Unless it's a battle for the kingdom of God, you're fighting the wrong fight. And the battle for the kingdom is always fought one heart, one life at a time. Whose heart and eternal life are you fighting for today? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Psalms, chapter 19, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we open up our Bibles to Psalm chapter 19? And some of you are saying, Mark, why in the world are we going to Psalm 19? Well, we are in the book of Genesis. We are working through the book of Genesis. But we're going to also use today as a day of foundation. As I studied for this week and prepared and prayed and thought about what we should cover this Sunday, I realized that we have such a glaring issue that is right in our face as a church, that we have two choices. We either ignore it and pretend it goes away, or we honestly step up to the plate and look at it in light of Scripture and in light of science and say, what is this issue to do with evolution? As you guys know me, I've never been one to shy away from controversy on these issues. And so today we're just going to spend today continuing to lay the foundation. Maybe you looked in your bulletin and the name creation or evolution, which one is it? And so we're going to just spend some time today looking at it and being honest about it and talking about it. I think that God has left us as believers never in a position where we need to retreat or be afraid of science or anything else. I think we need to step up to the plate, look at the Word of God, look at the facts, and make an honest evaluation. And that's what I hope we do today. But why don't we pray and ask God to bless it? Father, how we thank you for this morning. And Lord, as we get into a very controversial subject in our day and age, and really one that is taught predominantly around the world, but Lord, lies in contrast to your word. Father, I pray that you would help us to become well equipped. We as your children need not be afraid or need not be ashamed. We stand boldly on your word. Lord, we stand out in the forefront. Even as you yourself said, I've done nothing in a corner, but everything that I've done has been open and proclaimed to all. And Lord, even as your word is open and proclaimed to us, we pray that you would help us to be equipped in your word, to understand enough of science and true science to be able to make a stand on positions where we need to make a stand as believers. And Lord, again, if there are some here today, and I most certainly are, that have different opinions and different viewpoints of how we got here and where we stand on these issues, I pray that today would help to solidify and to strengthen them in their belief in your word and where they stand in you. And so, Lord, we thank you and we ask your blessing. We pray you pour out your spirit as we get into your word today and look at what you have to say about your creation. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 19, verse 1, read with me. It says this: the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. Guys, there's nothing that's quite so evident in all the universe as the fact that we have a creator, if we are honest with ourselves and we look around. David proclaims that here in chapter 19. He says, day unto day proclaims God's greatness. I mean, we get up in the day and what do we see? The sun in the rotation, the moons and the planets and all these things that couldn't have just happened. Night unto night as we watch what happens in the universe and understanding the stars and the galaxies and what it is that holds together Pleiades and Orion, you know, the constellations. Still today, scientists don't know why they're held together in their gravitational bands. They have these gravitational bands, but not understanding how that could be put together without some form putting it together, and all these questions that even as we study more science just bring more questions as to how we could exist without there being a creator. And yet there are many today that question the creativity, I guess, the creator himself of God in this universe that we live in. Now, as believers, we take it for granted that God is the creator. At least I'm sure that most believers do. There may be some that question that God's the creator, but then you have to question whether they're really a believer. So we understand all, we would all agree that God's the creator, but there seems to be differing views about how God created it, and that's where this whole process of evolution comes in. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, and before we're done, I hope that you have a better foundation to realize that, first of all, let me say that evolution has not been proven scientifically, and we'll explain why it is impossible to prove evolution scientifically as we get into what the true definition of science is. And some of you from your science classes will remember that definition when we get to it. But again, why is there such opposition to creation? And why is there such a pushing forward of the world, if you will, and what is called worldly science, if you will, of evolution? And let me just say before we get into this, and I'll make this clear as we go along, I'm not saying that we as believers don't look at science. Science is good. Science has done many wonderful things for us. But again, we need to understand what the true facts of science are before we make our evaluation. And what has happened in the realm of evolution is that a lot of false science has been put forward that under greater investigation does not hold up against the evidence. And so that's what we'll talk about today, as well as looking at what the Word of God says. I was going to move on into covering the first few days of creation, but as I thought about it, I realized that we needed to really look more in depth at evolution and creation side by side. Now, as you know, there are two main views of how we came into existence. What are they? Evolution and creation. Evolution states that it was sheer chance that we are here and everything exists simply by coming into being from nothing over long, long periods of time. They say that basically it was just this enormous, unlimited amount of time, and suddenly, poof, here we are and we exist. On the contrary, and again, when you look at that on the surface, you have to say, just as a logical mind would go, you have to think that sounds really absurd. I mean, let's be honest about it. To say that you have nothing, let's just wait long enough and whew, it's going to be taken care of. That's like thinking, looking at our kid's room and thinking, you know what, let's just kind of wait, not take any action. It'll get cleaned up on its own. I mean, it's not reality. And so I think basic logic tells us that the whole basis of evolution is flawed from its foundation. But understand, and I want to say this, I think the battle over evolution is not a scientific battle. Note this, because for those of you who want to do your scientific homework, there are multitudes of scientists, even unbelievers, who do not believe in evolution. Even unbelieving scientists very boldly today stand up and say, it's impossible. It couldn't have happened. And so I don't believe in creation, but we have to be honest enough to say that evolution is a farce. So don't just think it's the Christians that are saying this. These are scientists we have on both sides. Believing and unbelieving scientists both today stand very firmly in the fact that evolution is not a fact. And I believe that if the Lord doesn't come back soon enough, I personally believe that evolution will be so discredited it won't even be a discussion. Now, the question is, why then is it so popular now? Why is evolution so much in the forefront? Guys, recognize this. It's not a battle over science because you have great scientists in both sides. This is a spiritual battle. Because you see, when it comes to the teaching of evolution, if evolution is true, the Bible is not. And if the Bible is true, evolution is not. And as we're going to see by the time we're done today, you can't honestly, as a Christian with Scripture, marry the two. And I believe that it's a satanic attack, it's a demonic attack to discredit the Word of God, because if the foundation can be pulled out from under the Bible, the rest of it will collapse on its own. And if evolution is true, guys, we have no responsibility or accountability to a creator, which means, hey, I can do whatever I want. Sin's what's sin to you, and sin is what's sin to me. And even if I want to sin, that's okay, because there's nobody I'm accountable to. You see, it's all relative. There is no absolute truth when it comes to evolution. And so this Satan knows this, and that's why he puts it in place. Let me say this as well. if there's no creation, and evolution is the form that God used to create everything, or that what is in place even without God, you have no purpose. You are a little blip on another little blip in the middle of billions of blips that mean nothing. Zero. You have no purpose. You have no significance. Guys, the Bible could teach us exactly the opposite. That could be, nothing could be farther from the truth. The Bible teaches that you were specifically created and designed by the Lord Himself. The Bible says He formed you in the womb. He developed you. He designed you. He created you. He gave you a specific purpose and reason to exist. He's given you eternity in the kingdom of God, and you're not a little blip. You know the little picture you see there at the Christian bookstore, and I'm not getting down on it because I think the idea behind it's very nice, and they're trying to get a good idea across. We have that big table, right, where everybody's going to be seated to eat with the Lord, which the Bible says will happen, and it starts out up front. You can kind of see who's there, and as you get farther back, it disappears into this blob of blips you can't identify. Guys, God knows, and although it can't be drawn or designed on a picture, understand this, that is not what you are to God. You are right there in the seat beside Him. You have a name. He knows the hairs on your head, the hairs, He knows the days you're going to live. He knows how you're made. He knows why He's made you. He knows when He was going to create you. He knows when He's going to bring you in the kingdom. Everything is on His planner, so to speak. You're completely designed. Evolution does away with all of that. And if Satan can convince you that you are worthless, then how are you going to live? In a worthless way. You know, it's amazing. We tell our children that they're animals or they came from animals. No wonder they act that way. If we teach them their purpose and their creation, then they have a reason to strive for something that is higher, something that is noble, something that is righteous, and to live as God created us. Well, again, I believe it's a spiritual battle, not a scientific battle. And because, again, you have so many good scientists that stand on the creation science side, and again, those that are even unbelievers. Now, again, I believe that the reason we need to talk about evolution, honestly, is that the teaching of evolution has caused many believers to walk away from their faith. Some to doubt their faith, number one. Some to walk away from their faith altogether. You get these high school students that grow up in church, and they say, well, God created, and here's what happened. And they go to college, and some guy named professor stands up there and says, everything you've learned in the past is all false. Here's the real scientific facts. And not being old enough or mature enough to look those scientific facts up for themselves, they believe what this person they look up to says, and now they're pulled away from their faith. And what I found is that things that I was told in college are not true, many of them. And you don't realize a lot of that until you get older, but that is why a lot of our high school kids are falling away when they get in college, because they're looking to these professors. We need to equip them now. We need to be equipped, and we need to equip our children so that when they get there, they're not cowering in fear going, oh, we're those dumb, ignorant, crazy Christians who just believe the Bible. No, we stand, yes, in faith on the Word of God, but we also see that science backs up what we believe. God has not said we're supposed to just hang our brain at the door. And some people say that. Well, Christians, they just, you know, don't even use their brain. Nonsense. There are people with brains much larger than any of us in this room that are Christian scientists that teach and believe in creation and can back it up with scientific evidence. It is not a matter of a bunch of ignorant people who just want to believe it because they're going to hide their head in the sand and say, okay, I just believe it. No. The bottom line is that God has given us the solid foundation of Scripture to stand on. But when we do our homework, we'll find out that the evolutionary foundation is very weak. Now, what we're going to look at mostly today is the weakness of the evolutionary foundation. You need to see that before we get into Genesis, and as we go through the days of creation, then we're going to see the solid foundation of Scripture. Now, again, some say that we as Christians can still believe in evolution and still believe God's Word. Guys, but I believe an honest evaluation of Scripture will prove this false. And there may even be some of you here today that's saying, well, I believe that God created, but I think He used evolution. I hope that by the time we're done today, you're going to see that's impossible. If we are honest with the Scripture, it is impossible for God to have used the evolutionary process to bring about what we have today, or it wouldn't be the same God that we serve. And again, I hope I can give you enough evidence to show you that. But you might be saying, well, Mark, okay, what does that mean then? Was it six literal days? The Bible teaches six literal days in the book of Genesis. And basically, by the time we're done looking at the facts, we have a choice to make. Do we believe the Bible or do we not believe the Bible? And does science disprove that? I'm telling you right now up front, science does not disprove that, although you may have heard so. And again, I hope you'll do your own homework to find that out, and I hope that some of the stuff we share today will help you in that area. Now, you might say, but Mark, couldn't God have used 6 million years, or 6 million years, millions of years? God could have done it any way He wanted, but the Bible says He did it in 6 days. So it's not a matter of how God could have done it. Do I believe that God could create that way? Certainly. He's God. But I also believe God could create it all in a second. You think, well, why? I think they think, well, it took millions of years. I'm thinking, why did it take him 6 days? I mean, certainly he could have gone, and it's done. I believe the reason it took 6 days was to set an example for us of the 6-day work week and taking a day off. And that's why he set the Sabbath to be holy. Jesus did everything for us. He said, I've come to be an example for you. Even in creation, he gave us an example of how we're to live life. So again, problem is not it took so long. It's why didn't it happen quicker? Now, how has it happened that many people believe in evolution and doubt the word of God? Well, because many believe that science has proven this, but nothing could be farther from the truth. Let me just give you an interesting side note. You remember the famous Scopes trial here in our lovely state of Tennessee that supposedly proved evolution true and the Bible wrong. Guys, note this. Did you know that every single argument, let me say that again, even though I hate to repeat myself. Every single argument that was used to prove evolution true and the Bible wrong has since been proven false by science. And that is not Christian science. That is science outside of the Christian realm. There is not one argument that was used in the Scopes trial that can still stand today because they were all proven false. I remember we talked last week about how science changes. You have to change the science books every year to keep up. How often has the Bible been changed? I think we get the point. Now, it's also important to point out, as I said, that God has not called us to blind faith. Again, remember, science is good, and used properly, science can be a very helpful tool, and we as Christians should use science. It's dishonest science that I have a problem with, and it's dishonest science that has, I think, led much of the church into doubting the Word of God and into the wrong direction. So I'm not saying we're to ignore science. God created it, but we're to use it in the proper way. Now, let me say this, and this may shock some of you, this statement here. Let me begin by saying, no one can prove evolution or creation by scientific methods alone. You can't do it because of the definition of science. What do I mean? Here's the true definition of science. Some of you may remember this from school. Number one, it has three aspects. Number one, true science must be observable. Secondly, true science must be repeatable. And thirdly, true science must be measurable. None of those three criteria can be met when it comes to the creation of the world because we weren't there. Creationists weren't there. Evolutionists weren't there. We can't repeat it in a laboratory, and therefore we can't measure it. So the true definition of science cannot be applied. That is the only thing that has kept the scientific community that doesn't want to believe from calling it fact. The only reason they keep the evolutionary theory in quotations is because they know by the definition of science they can't honestly say that. And we know that we can't honestly say that. We don't claim as Christians that we can prove scientifically that God created. We simply take what God says, which has proven itself over the centuries and over the years, and then we take the evidence that we have, and we come to our conclusion based on that. So understand that none of the scientific criteria can be met for either for the creationist or the evolutionist because we can't do the three criteria needed to make it scientific. Now, again, if both evolutionists and creationists have to look at the scientific evidence to find out what it means, basically, what they do is that creationist looks at the scientific evidence, the evolutionist looks at the scientific evidence, and then you believe what you believe by faith from that point on. Now, it's interesting. We believe by faith based on something that has proven itself over thousands of years, the Word of God. It's never been proven wrong. By the way, I don't know if you knew this, there's never been anything scientifically inaccurate ever discovered in the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, you've heard me say before, science is slowly catching up with the Bible. The Bible told us a long time before man knew that the earth was round. The Bible told us a long time before we knew that there were actual paths for the lightning bolts that we now discover there are. God says, who made the path for the lightning bolt? He asked Job that. Now we know that there's a path for the lightning bolt, actually a path before the strike takes place. Again, God told us lots of things before man ever discovered it. And so the point is that science is slowly catching up to the Bible and these things. But again, it takes faith for either one to believe where they stand. Our faith is just a lot more solid. Our faith is solid because we have the Word of God to stand on. Now you say, it takes faith, Mark, you say, for the evolutionist to believe. There's no other way you can believe in evolution but by faith because it cannot be proven scientifically, which means you have to believe by faith. And therefore, we as Christians have the same problem. We have to believe by faith because we don't have this. We can't prove scientifically either. But guys, let me tell you something. Would you rather stand on the infallible Word of God that has proven itself over centuries, or would you rather stand on fallible man and his theories? I know where I'm going to stand. And so you need to understand that you have solid ground to stand on. It's not some mindless, blind Christian approach. Now again, it's notable to say, again, as we already talked about, that the Bible has never been proven in any way scientifically inaccurate, although it's not a science book. But Romans 3:4 says this. It says, let God be found true, but every man a liar. And that's when it comes to believing fallible man and his theories as compared to the word of God, I know where I'm going to stand. And that's where we need to be encouraged to stand as believers. With creation, we have a clear and detailed account of not only how we got here, but why we're here. With evolution, we only have questions and theories. That's it. Now, I've broken this up in different segments to look at today. The first thing I want to talk about is, what are some of the problems with evolution? Well, first of all, if you don't believe in God, then some of those problems disappear. But if you do believe in God, then you have to believe that the evolutionary process that God chose to create with, if God chose to do that, would mean that God is a cruel and gruesome God. His process would be extremely cruel and gruesome. Why is that? Well, for evolution to take place, God had to set in motion a process where the weaker slowly die out and or are killed out, and the stronger slowly take over. It's what the evolutionist calls survival of the fittest. You've probably heard that term before. That's what evolution teaches, that the weaker got killed out or that they died out, and so the stronger remained. That was basically Hitler's approach when it came to the Jews. He believed they were a superior race. And because of that, all the Jews should be killed out. It was from the evolutionary mindset that Hitler was driven. And again, if that's true, then you could see where that drive would come from. But on the contrary, we see that God's word declares that God is gracious and merciful to those less advantaged, and that he's an advocate for the weak and the lowly. That's who our God is. God defends the weak and the lowly. God finds the one that can't have any help, and he helps them. It's the whole mindset and foundation of evolution is exactly the opposite mindset of God and his foundation. Next, we have a huge problem, because if God created over millions of years through death and suffering, rather than 6 days as the Bible says, and don't worry about all the dinosaur questions and all that, we're going to get to that when we get into creation. There are good scientific explanations for all of this. So don't let these things stumble you until we get there. There's too much to cover today for that. But if God created over millions of years through death and suffering rather than 6 days, as it says, the entire Bible is completely undermined, because note this, it means that before sin came through Adam, there was death, disease, and suffering on the earth. If there was death and suffering millions of years before Adam sinned in the garden, as evolutionists claim, then death, disease, and suffering took place before the fall. Yet the Bible clearly declares that death and disease came into being after the fall and is now due to the fall. The Bible says there was no death in the world until Adam sinned. There was no disease. There was none of this. How could all these things die and be in this position? They can't both be right. And if sin did not enter until Adam, millions of years of death and suffering before this is biblically impossible. Let's just be honest. You see, it's forcing us into a position as believers. We have to be honest about it. But what I'm saying is, we have nothing to fear. Because again, the science is on our side. Romans 5:12 says this, and note this. Therefore, just as through one man, note that, sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because of sin. What it's saying there in Romans is that death came into the world because of Adam's fall.
Isn't it interesting that it only took a couple of chapters in after God created everything for mankind to find a way to rebel? This is human nature, isn't it? Throughout history, God has something great in mind, but people find loopholes and do things their own way, rebelling against God. Something that's striking in the book of Genesis is that God remains faithful even when mankind does not. God keeps his promises when it would be impossible for anyone else to do so. What an amazing God we serve. Pastor Mark has been working his way through the opening book of the Bible, and there's so much more to gain from it. Come to the Table is a radio ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're enjoying these teachings, head over to thewaymedia.net to hear more. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. While you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love for you to drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. Scroll to the bottom of the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. We have several service times that could accommodate whatever type of schedule you have. We're so thankful that you've joined us today, listening to Pastor Mark's thoughts and insights on the book of Genesis. There's more to learn and appreciate from the beginning of the Bible on. So come next time, grab your Bible, maybe a cup of coffee, and be ready to understand the great things God has for you to learn. The next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.